So I did something this weekend that I am willing to bet $100 that neither of you have done.
Okay.
So I've had this idea, gosh, for probably as long as I've been alive, at least conscious, when I was 6 years old. And I've never really pulled the trigger on it until now. So my brother got into this at the beginning of the pandemic.
I know what this is now.
And am I right that neither of you have done this?
You're right about okay. me. I don't think Junior has either.
And so I decided, you know what? I'm going to do this. You know, the days are ending shorter now, in life as well as in season. And so I'm going to go ahead and do it. And so I had to travel out of town to find one that is available this weekend. But I finally got on a motorized two-wheeled mistress.
You bought a motorcycle?
To learn how to tame the girl.
You bought one or you're just learning?
No. This is me going and doing it the right way.
Okay.
Going and taking the course.
Motorcycle school.
That's what everyone should do who rides a motorcycle. Even if you've ridden one for years, you should go back, learn it the right way, start building your habits, undo your bad habits, learn your good habits, and take the endeavor seriously because there is risk associated with it. As is every activity that's worth doing, there is some element of risk. And your job is to learn how to mitigate those risks by making wise choices ahead of time and during the activity. So, yeah, went down to motorcycle school. And I got to tell you, it is a lot more intense than you would think it would be. That first day, you were reeling afterwards.
Did you go to this school?
You've been barked at. I had to go down around Houston way to do this, to find it. Now, they have them all around here.
Is it?
But they get booked up on the weekends pretty quickly far in advance because, you know, a lot of people can't take time off of work. There are classes on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, but they start at 7 in the morning.
A dealership puts this on or private?
No, there's the Motorcycle Safety Foundation has many different locations.
Okay.
There will be private instructors that also have signed up with that school, and there's only 8 students, you know, per class.
Gotcha.
So I did this, took the road trip to go do it. You get in there, and dude, this guy was a drill sergeant. I mean, former military, former police motorcycle cop, former mounted cop. I mean, he's done it all. Races boats, I think, too. And
he didn't want to hear jokes.
No. And, dude, we got in there. If you are 1 second late to this class, thank you for your money. See you later. You need to try again some other time. Oh. You're not going to be late.
Wow.
And so you get in there, and there were some instructions on the screen that you're supposed to do beforehand before he comes in there. And it took us a while to do that. We are already 19 minutes late for this class. Every single one of you contributed to this. You know, that guy.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine and we have a lot of P1s have gone through the military, and you go through extended periods of time of just this exact thing. But, I mean, we're going through it all day on a voluntary course, you know, that we're doing. It was intense. And then at the end of the day, you're worn out because you've been out on the asphalt in the heat. Riding around trying to learn how to do this. You have to have octopus arms because on a motorcycle, of course, you have in your right hand, you have the most important brake, which is your front brake, and you have your throttle. And then in your left hand, you got your clutch, and on your left foot, you've got your gear shift, which can go up or down, neutral there. You have to get all that going. And then you have your right brake on your right foot. And all these variables have to go together and blend it at different times. And then you have the fact that you're riding a gyroscope and you have to learn your lean and then what input is going to make the bike want to stand up, mm-hmm. what input is going to make the bike lay down, you know, when you can brake, when you can't brake, because you'll end up falling down if you do it this. There's a lot to remember, and it's all given to you at a speed reader's pace that you've got to remember. It's like, okay, in this exercise, we're going to line up with boundary cones. Boundary cones, you're going to go to the second two small cones. You're going to take a right. Then you're going to execute a turn. Then you're going to do this. Then you got to go here, and then you got to stop within this boundary distance, everything. Everybody got the 27 instructions I just barked at you? You know the route? And meanwhile, you're looking out
Did
over
Did you go
the,
through that again? And you didn't want to ask him.
Yo, no, nobody wants to ask that. And then you're looking at a course which has just these cones and faded painted lines that you're supposed to, you know, it's all kind of washed out and it doesn't really make sense to your brain. And you've got to remember the instructions and how it applies to the grid you see in front of you. Wow. I mean, by the first day, when you've gone through it for, what is it, 7 to 5, how long a time is that? How many hours is that? Five? That's 10 hours. 10 hours of that, you fall into bed that night.
Yeah.
Worn out. And I'm sure it depends on what kind of instructor you get. Different instructors have different styles. And, you know, my guy had a straightforward style. He put you through the ring of the first day. He eases up on you the second day. He plays psychological games. I mean, not games. They're useful things that he does. You know, it's stuff like when you're supposed to fill out something that's on a dry erase board in the back of the room. And every table had a marker in front of it. And you're supposed to go up and with your and mark on that board and give yourself scores in these particular areas, a self-assessment deal before the class even starts. Well, the markers in front of you clearly say on them permanent markers. And the instructions up there that were on the front of the room said you use a dry erase marker to do this. And the dry erase marker is kind of tucked beside that dry erase board on the side, you know, off to where you can barely see it.
Seeing if you pay attention to detail.
Seeing if you pay attention, read the instructions, and pay attention to the marker in front of you that says permanent marker. Yeah. You know that's not the one to use.
Whoa. Interesting.
Yeah. So there's a lot of these kind of things that are going on at the same time.
How many classes do you have to take?
It's 2 days. Now, there's some versions, you know, that are 3 days, but I did all of the classroom learning portion online.
So you're done now.
So, yes. So, okay. So well, I'm done with the course, but did I pass? Because at the end of this,
pass or did he break you?
You get to the end, and you've got to get a pass or fail grade. And, man, the dudes who were inside this class with me, this is an interesting study because when I took my CHL class for my concealed handgun license, which I refuse to talk about and let you know whether I'm licensed or not.
Right.
Because that's the first rule of Fight Club.
I remember you saying everybody in the class was wheels off.
Well, I remember thinking, man, there's people in here that do not have no business carrying a gun. I told you that one story of the dude who raised his hand in class. So at the end of today, I need my gun for tonight.
I need my gun for tonight.
What are you talking about, dude?
Oh, no.
And even in this class, there was one kid who was so young that I don't think he had his driver's license yet. He was going this next week to do his driver's license and get his motorcycle endorsement on that license.
Wow.
And he's asking questions like, hey, helmets aren't mandatory in Texas, are they? Dude, this is, first of all, you should be wearing a full-face helmet. Okay? Second of all, even if you're not going to wear one, don't ask this guy about it. Google it afterwards.
Right.
Did he get up in front of him? What'd you ask me, boy?
he didn't, but he said, you know, I highly recommend you wear a helmet. Highly recommend you specifically wear a helmet. And then there are other dudes in the class, you know, who were just there, and maybe this is just a young guy thing, way too gung-ho about things they were going to do. One dude said, because I took the course, and I knew after that first day, immediately, if I pass this course, the first thing I'm going to do if I get a bike is to go out into a parking lot and practice all this crap over and over and over again. Because I can tell after riding day one, I don't know how to ride.
Right.
This is just the beginning. This doesn't mean now you know how to ride. So go on out there. And there were guys in the class who were like, yeah, man, as soon as I get this, man, I'm hitting the road tonight. First of all, night was kind of a red flaggy word to me, too.
Right.
At night, he's going to go riding.
I'm hitting the road tonight with my gun.
Yeah. Can you do a wheelie when you're going faster than 60?
Yeah, is it wrong to do a wheelie in front of the cops? You know? So we go through the second day, and I texted my brother at the end of the first day, and I'm like, what was it like for you after the first day? And my brother was great, man. He was so compassionate about it because he goes, I'll be honest, man. There are several times during that class I was at my breaking point, you know, because he had a kind of instructor like mine, you know. But you push on through it, you know, and you keep pushing on through it. And then you get to the test. You take the test, and there were several mistakes I made on the test. But when he announced at the end of that, he goes, well, congratulations. All seven of you, because one guy didn't show up. Ooh. All seven of you passed the test.
Okay. Congratulations.
Boom.
Boom. Way to go.
So now I'm here to convince my fellow musers to take the course.
No way, bro.
Craig is already bitten by the romance of the two-wheeled travel.
You guys may, but no.
So maybe I can convert him to this, because I think that Strike Force, our Muser collective vigilante group, needs to be motorcycle mounted when we do all of our crime fighting and saving cats out of trees.
All right, I will. There's a lot here. I have a lot to say about this, but we're out of time. Can I give you my answer tomorrow in the segment of your choice, either the O-Deck or the corner?
Let's do it during the corner, this exact segment, because I think there's a lot to be said about motorcycles,
yes,
about men wanting to ride motorcycles, women wanting to ride motorcycles, and just that form of transportation that still exists in America in this day when it's not a necessity the way it is in other countries.
I think it's cool that you've done it, and I'm glad you're being safe, but I'll tell you right now, no way, Broseph. And I'll give you my official answer tomorrow. My
producer overrule on George, in for content.
All right, part two of this incredibly interesting discussion tomorrow at this time.
You know, those things are things you can control. And when you look into the accidents that happen, so many of them happen because someone didn't manage their own personal risk that had nothing to do. Also, the other thing is the huge percentage of motorcycle accidents and fatalities are single vehicle, just the motorcycle is the thing that crashed. There's no other car involved
right.
in it. It's someone trying to do the twisties and going beyond their own personal limits and skill and not wearing gear or going too fast. And so a lot of those things are in your control. It's still not 100% safe, obviously, but you have to do it smart and responsible. And there are a few guys in my class I'm not so convinced are going to make good decisions. So,
well, maybe it'll hit them and they'll be careful.
Yeah, but I heard from a lot of good P1s who were into motorcycles. Some of them still into it. Some of them rode when they were younger. Like I said, some women who were interested in riding. And I think 20% of motorcyclists are women. I've watched a lot of YouTube channels of women motorcyclists that just do such impressive things. One woman, Itchy Boots, is her YouTube name. She's a woman from the Netherlands, but she will take her bike like from the bottom of South America all the way up to Alaska. So this is not a fast thing she's doing. She's on, you know, a dual sport bike and going through all these small countries and towns and villages.
Great.
It's awesome. I love her channel so much. If you get a chance, check it out. It's called Itchy Boots, and she's a real comforting, engaging personality, and she travels the world. She's also done all through Africa and basically every continent, and she travels through and she makes these beautiful videos of her exploring the world on top of a motorcycle, you know, 30 miles per hour at a time. There's nothing really fast about it. She's going through dirt roads and unpaved stretches of our world.
So this is something I'd like to talk to you about, and maybe we'll do part three tomorrow in Gordo's Corner of Motorcycle Talk, because I think this is a whole other segment. If I were to ever get a motorcycle, I've always been more attracted to the crotch rocket than the Harley, and I'm interested to hear what motorcycle you might get now that you've taken lessons.
Okay. Well, all right, because I do have an idea.
Because I think that's a great debate, and
yes,
there's a lot there.
Because motorcycling is, like I said, it's about 10 different sports under that one umbrella.
Yeah.
Because the crotch rocket street racer is very different than the dirt bike.
Yes.
And then all these divisions in between.
Okay, part three tomorrow.
Stuff on four-wheelers. Yeah. And bad things happen.
It would not be very intimidating if we showed up to fight crime with George in a sidecar.
Wearing the goggles and the leather helmet and the scarf.
Right.
If I had that.
Dressed like a World War I flying ace. All right, Junes, you had a lot of thoughts. As a matter of fact, you were the one who said, hey, we're out of time, but I have many thoughts on this subject.
Yes.
Because, and I thought of you, because this was talked about even in my class, which is why humans, for some reason, we loved two-wheeled travel. There's something about two-wheeled travel that is such a different experience from being conveyed in a four-wheeled vehicle. You're on a gyroscope, there's leans, there's the speed of that you're going through the air yourself, not surrounded by a cage. There's something to that that tickles us and that never leaves us into adulthood. And I also thought of you, Junes, when we're sitting there learning about motorcycle safety. And obviously, motorcycling is a it can be a very dangerous pursuit.
Yep.
As is cycling.
Yep.
And cycling, and a lot of times they're sitting there talking about motorcycles, and I'm going, man, this is, you know, this is scary to learn the stats of it, and, you know, it's 28 times more dangerous than riding in a car, by the stats, and I'll unpack that here in just a little bit, but yet, riding in a bicycle actually, in a lot of ways in the city, seems more dangerous than a motorcycle.
Yep.
Because a motorcyclist is taught to always have a method of escape. That in a motorcycle, you can blip it and get out of a place in a hurry. If someone is not stopping back behind you, you see your escape route, you can hit that throttle and go, which you don't have that ability in a bicycle as much because you can't get up to speed.
Right. Motorcycles are going with the flow of traffic. They fit in better.
Yes. And a cyclist is slowing down traffic.
Mm-hmm.
People hate cyclists even more than motorcycles.
Yep.
And so it's a very dangerous pursuit. So I thought of you in that you are not unaware, or you have not failed to experience the dangers of being out on two wheels in traffic.
Right.
And a lot of ways you're doing a more dangerous pursuit.
Yep.
So, yeah, what are your thoughts on motorcycle? Because I've never heard you make noise about wanting to try a motorcycle.
So I've always had an interest in getting a motorcycle and learning how to ride one. When I was in grade school, my best friend at the time, Rich, he was big into dirt bikes. And I actually went and watched him race a few times, and I always thought the dirt bikes were so cool. And I kind of got into that sport through him. And but over the years, I was just always so into cycling, into riding a bicycle, that I never really paid much attention to or thought to getting a motorcycle. I thought I'd always do it later in life. And yesterday, when you were talking about what you learned in your classes, I think a lot of what I have learned over the years on a bicycle would translate. The leaning, the, you know, how to hit an apex through a corner. You mentioned you hit the front brake first. That's your most important brake. That's the same thing on a bike. Most people just slam on the rear brake. Well, that's when you're going to fishtail. That's why you feather the front brake and then easily, you know,
yeah, you learn progressive braking. You don't lock things up. You got it.
Right.
Yeah, there's so much that translates between the two. As a matter of fact, a good way for someone to start learning how to ride a motorcycle, they don't have a lot of any experience, is get on a bike. So many of those physics principles are the same on both of these things.
So I think I could pick it up pretty quickly, and I still do. There's part of it that fascinates me. I love seeing the world with a 360 view when I'm on my bike. That's one of the big thrills every day I get when I go on a bike ride, is just you experience the world. You see the world more than you see it in a car, certainly. And you can cover some ground. And what's fascinated me about the motorcycle is you can cover a lot more ground than you can on a bicycle. So you can really go places. You can do a cross-country trip in a lot less time than you could on a bicycle. But you mentioned the risks, and I think a few years ago, I would have still been open to learning how to ride a motorcycle. But now that I'm 58 with a 3-year-old, my number one quest every time I leave on my bicycle is to come home safely.
Right.
And in the 3 years since we had our daughter, I now pretty much ride the trails, because we've now got a great paved trail system in Dallas and expanding to Fort Worth. So I can go out and do a long, long ride and never get on the roads. So it feels a lot safer to me. I've pretty much stopped racing my bike because that's a dangerous pursuit. And so I'm trying to really limit my risk, my exposure to risk and dangerous pursuits. Still, getting on a bike on the trails can be dangerous. So I try to be as careful as I can there. So I don't think this is the right time in my life to pick up motorcycling. But if I were single and childless right now, I'd be right there with you. I would have taken that class last weekend with you.
So, Junes, you bring up the most important thing, which is managing your risk. To do anything that is exciting or fun, you know, has some risk associated with it. And we all know we take risk when we get in a car each time. I'm not going to make a point like that. But managing your risk is what a lot of people who get injured or killed on motorcyclists have not done very well.
Yep.
And when you hear stats like motorcycle riders are 28 times more likely to die in an accident. 4 times more likely to be injured in an accident. All that stuff sounds really scary, rightfully so. But then when you start looking at the numbers and you start seeing, okay, well, 40% of those who were killed in motorcycle accidents didn't even have their license. I think it may be as high as 50% weren't wearing a helmet.
Mm-hmm.
Speed was a factor in a huge percentage of those accidents. And I want to say it's like close to 40% of those accidents involved drinking.
Wow.
The motorcyclist was drinking, and a large number of them are a motorcyclist that was drinking, unlicensed, riding at night without a helmet.
That's,
and speed, and going too fast.
That's, crudely put, asking for it.
All of those factors are things that are within your control.
Right.
We worry so much about the cars around us. That's one of the priority number one. Or I should say priority number two for a motorcyclist is worrying about the cars around them and what they're doing. You're always trying to predict their quote-unquote unpredictable behavior.
Yep,
because people have motorcycle blindness as well as they have cyclist
blindness. I do that
blindness.
On the bike. I just assume every car around me does
right.
not see me.
But the number one priority is managing your risk. What decisions are you making that are putting yourself at increased risk?
Mm-hmm.
If you're speeding, you're putting yourself at increased risk. If you're not wearing your protective gear, increased risk.
Yep.
Riding at night, having a drink, going to a bar and drinking, then riding your bike home. Riding when you're emotional, and that includes euphoric or incredibly upset because you just had a fight with your, you know, girlfriend or boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those things are things you can control, and when you look into the accidents that happen, so many of them happen because someone didn't manage their own personal risk that had nothing to do. Also, the other thing is the huge percentage of motorcycle accidents and fatalities are single vehicle, just the motorcycle is the thing that crashed. There's no other car involved
right.
in it. It's someone trying to do the twisties and going beyond their own personal limits and skill and not wearing gear or going too fast. And so a lot of those things are in your control. It's still not 100% safe, obviously, but you have to do it smart and responsible. And there are a few guys in my class I'm not so convinced are going to make good decisions. So,
well, maybe it'll hit them and they'll be careful.
Yeah, but I heard from a lot of good P1s who were into motorcycles. Some of them still into it. Some of them rode when they were younger. Like I said, some women who were interested in riding. And I think 20% of motorcyclists are women. I've watched a lot of YouTube channels of women motorcyclists that just do such impressive things. One woman, Itchy Boots, is her YouTube name. She's a woman from the Netherlands, but she will take her bike like from the bottom of South America all the way up to Alaska. So this is not a fast thing she's doing. She's on, you know, a dual sport bike and going through all these small countries and towns and villages.
Great.
It's awesome. I love her channel so much. If you get a chance, check it out. It's called Itchy Boots, and she's a real comforting, engaging personality, and she travels the world. She's also done all through Africa and basically every continent, and she travels through, and she makes these beautiful videos of her exploring the world on top of a motorcycle, you know, 30 miles per hour at a time. There's nothing really fast about it. She's going through dirt roads and unpaved stretches of our world.
So this is something I'd like to talk to you about, and maybe we'll do part three tomorrow in Gordo's Corner of Motorcycle Talk, because I think this is a whole other segment. If I were to ever get a motorcycle, I've always been more attracted to the crotch rocket than the Harley, and I'm interested to hear what motorcycle you might get now that you've taken lessons.
Okay.
Well,
all right,
because
I do
that.
Have an idea.
Because I think that's a great debate, and
yes,
there's a lot there.
Because motorcycling is, like I said, it's about 10 different sports under that one umbrella.
Yeah.
Because the crotch rocket street racer is very different than the dirt bike.
Yes.
And then all these divisions in between.
Okay, part three tomorrow.
You know that we've been talking about it for the past couple of days at this time, and I mentioned that you love cycling, and cycling to me seems basically almost as dangerous as motorcycles in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that you had an interest in motorcycling and a particular kind of motorcycle.
Yeah, now that you've taken lessons,
and invited you, I've extended you the formal invitation.
Yes.
To ride motorcycles.
And I told you that if my life were a little different, then I would have taken you up on that invitation and I would have taken lessons with you, and I would love to buy a motorcycle too, because it's always looked like a lot of fun to me. So I was wondering what kind of motorcycle you were thinking about buying and riding. And I told you yesterday that I had always thought if I bought one, I would want a crotch rocket, that those look like the most fun to me. Now, that was also when I was younger. Maybe now that I'm older, Harley or a chopper right. or something would look like more fun and safer and more sensible. But still, if I had to choose today, I probably would lean toward the crotch rocket. They just look cool and they look fun. Are you considering one of those?
Craig, I am not, because everyone brings their own ideas to the world of motorcycling, and it's has to do with what you were inspired by as a kid and what you were scared by as a kid. And I was always kind of scared of the crotch rocket. You know, some big leader bike that, like a, you know, like a, those ninjas that used to scream, and they still do down, you'll be driving down Central or LBJ and someone flies past you going 150 on a crotch rocket.
Yep.
Don't get it.
It looks incredibly fun, and I watch some YouTubers who are insane. One of them is here. One of the most infamous of these daredevils is here. I believe he lives in Fort Worth. His name is Gixxer Bra on on YouTube. And he does the most insane things on a motorcycle you ever see. And it's like Death Wish stuff you're watching.
Wow.
You're watching these dudes who will do, like, those guys love the tunnel under LBJ. Like the express lane that goes under LBJ.
Because nobody's on it.
Right. It's usually wide open. It's when you get a whole gang of those guys who are riding those super bikes through there, screaming through there, hitting 180.
God.
That's ridiculous.
Wow.
180. And you can watch this all on YouTube. These dudes doing it. And Dallas is a popular location for those guys getting together. You know, it's a whole network of people. They talk to each other and say, hey, we're doing a meetup. Here's the secret location. They get together and then they hit the streets at night, and you'll have about 30, 40 of those bikes screaming up under LBJ.
That can't be safe for anyone involved.
No. And they're dragging each other, so they're drag racing. You know, they'll have two bikes. One of them bike will be in front. Three bikes, I guess, because the one in front is going slower. You know, like at 70 or 80 miles an hour, holds his hand up and then waves down, and then the two bikes in behind just take off. And the way those things accelerate, it looks like a movie.
Yeah.
Well, they may be skilled, but they're morons.
Okay. George pulling out the soapbox.
It's not safe for anybody.
No, I mean, I agree with you on that. I see how
they don't kill themselves, they're going to kill somebody else.
Yeah. It's probably fun for those guys, but that does not appeal to me.
Well, that's good, and that kind of answers my question about this whole thing. Because it's funny, we started talking about this on Monday, and maybe it's one of those things where you just notice it because you're talking about it. But sure enough, Monday afternoon, I'm on a very quiet road near where I live, very quiet part of the country, and
driving in your pokey way that you do.
I don't drive like a pokey.
You do. You're very pokey when you drive.
I don't, just because I don't floor it when I leave a parking garage.
You're just so lazy off the light and just barely take off when the light turns green.
You know, well, I'm not going to burn a bunch of gasoline. I can keep it on electric if
meanwhile,
I
there's so 10 people behind George
poodles.
Wanting to go left at this protected arrow, and
so
he takes up the whole green arrow just to laser lope through the intersection.
You're so full of fart sometimes, it's not even funny. But anyway.
Sounds like an insult.
So I'm driving, and here he is. Motorcycle guy on what appears to be some sort of crotch rocket. That's loud as hell. No helmet.
Uh-oh.
He only has enough interest to put one hand on the
handlebars.
That's
all he needs is the throttle hand.
And he's wondering what my problem is. I'm going 35 in a 30, and I've seen police there before, so it's probably not a good idea to go 40. Well, he gives it about 2 seconds and then goes back a little bit, then does a wheelie and zooms by me. And I'm just like,
did he pass you doing a wheelie?
No, he just did a wheelie and then accelerated. He went back down and accelerated around me. I was just like, okay. Now, I don't like you guys, I don't understand.
You don't understand his
the
world.
The rivalry between cars and cyclists, like Junior.
Mm-hmm.
I do understand the rivalry between motorists and motorcycle drivers that drive with an attitude like that. That is annoying as all hell.
Sure it is.
So please don't be, whatever you get, please don't be that guy. And I don't think you will be, because you'll have a helmet. I could see you doing, hey, I'm too cool for school. I'm just going to put one hand up there. And,
don't make this an attack on me. No, that's the other thing is you'll have motorists who then also get annoyed at motorcyclists for, look at them dressing up. Well, they don't need that full costume.
No, I'm fine with that.
It's not a costume.
Just don't
it's
pass
functional.
Me doing a wheelie. And do they have to, this is going to really sound boomer, but do they have to be that loud? They really do have to be that loud?
Look, now I'm kind of with you on this, and I don't know enough about motorcycles to know what is a natural sounding exhaust and what is something that the guy's done aftermarket to give it better pipes, you know, to not just increase the performance, but also they want to increase the sound. I don't believe in the loud pipes save lives. That's an old theory that motorcyclists used to put out there.
Okay, well, that would make some sense. Okay.
But it's not true. It's not true. From what I understand, it's not true. Because every time a car hits a motorcycle, they never say, I'm so sorry, I just didn't hear them. Right. It's always, I'm so sorry, I didn't see them.
Yeah.
So the loud pipe saves lives, I don't believe in that. But I'm annoyed with cars or motorcycles who alter their vehicle just to be louder.
Yes.
I understand if the noise is a byproduct of some performance upgrade, but I don't understand it as an aesthetic upgrade.
Right, and I guess it's an age thing, because when I was in high school, someone had dual exhaust. I thought it was
awesome. I know.
And now I just have no use for it, and yeah, it's really annoying.
It's annoying to me when I see somebody in a Nissan Versa that's put pipes on this thing to make it real loud. And like, come on, what is that about? What are you doing?
Just don't be that guy.
I won't.
Because people, yes, they have a hard enough time seeing you anyway, and I don't understand adding all that risk that some motorcycle drivers do.
Well, and those guys on those super bikes and high-performance sport bikes, they actually are very nimble. Sports bikes are extremely nimble machines that can dart around traffic. And, you know, it's not legal to lane split here. Although you will see motorcyclists doing it.
Yeah.
Now, lane splitting, if anybody's ever traveled to California, you'll see it all the time.
It's unbelievable.
So it's not legal here?
I don't believe it's legal in Texas, but I think that they're trying to make it legal in Texas. And believe it or not, as annoying as it is when someone lane splits, and this is when a motorcycle goes between two cars that are in lanes right next to each other, it seems like it should be illegal.
Yeah.
But there is all kinds of study that talks about how this is a lot more safe for motorists and motorcycles.
They're just sitting there behind a car where they can get...
Yeah, they're allowed to lane split, and that's one of the things that makes riding safer, is that you're allowed to go between cars.
Okay.
I don't quite understand it all, but it's illegal here in Texas, and you will see it. But there is nothing more scary than when you're driving down the highway in a car, and somebody screams by you between the lanes.
Yes.
On a leader bike that is going 120 because it makes such a loud sound. Those inline fours just scream. It's such a high pitch too. So no, that doesn't hold.
Okay.
Currently, it does not hold any interest.
Okay. So tomorrow in part 4.
Oh my gosh.
Of motorcycle talk. We ask Gordo if he's going to join Hell's Angels. That's tomorrow here on The Ticket.